Week is Parshas. I'm putting it on mute. This week is Parshas Devarim. Okay, Parshas Devarim, and it's Shabbos Chazoin. We have a very special Haftarah. It's a very frightening Haftarah, but the end of the Haftarah is very pleasant. The end of the Haftarah tells us We have three psukim. It's interesting that Daf Yomi yesterday discussed these three psukim in detail. What a hashkacha pratis that the mic was not on. What a hashkacha pratis that these three psukim were discussed in the Daf Yomi yesterday. That's an incredible hashkacha. V'yashiva yodi alayich v'etzref kabar sigoyich. Hashem says that He will return. He will. I will put My hand upon you. I will purify you. V'chulu v'chulu, with ingredients of with soap. V'chulu v'chulu, tzion b'mishpat tipadet v'shavecha b'tztaka, tzion will redeem with mishpat, and v'shavecha captives b'tztaka. Okay, so we have over here a parsha of Teichacha. Eile hadvarim, it begins with Teichacha and we end with Nechama. We begin with very harsh words of Musa, the first Rashi, Lefi Shehein Divrei Toichochos. The first words of the Rashi tell us of this parasha that Eile HaDvar Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Musa to Klal Yisrael. And when we leave the Bima, we leave with words of comfort, Tzion B'mishpat Tipadeh V'Shavecha B'Tzdaka. But in between the beginning of the parasha and the parasha, we have a very long process of a powerful Musa. First thing I want to discuss is Sheni, the laning. As you all know, this week, if you have had the opportunity to go to shul or to participate somehow in the minyan, even in this situation, the aliyah, the first aliyah ends with the words Hashem, a bracha, beautiful, beautiful bracha. Hashem Elokei Avoseichem Yosef aleichem kochem elef pa'amim. Vivarech eschem ka'asher diber lochem. Hashem, the God of your forefathers, shall add upon you 1,000 times more than what you are now, and shall bless you like He spoke to you. Hashem gave you His own blessing. Wow, what a beautiful blessing. That's where we end the first Aliyah Shabbos Mincha, and Monday, Thursday. But tomorrow, we're not going to end there. Tomorrow, we're going to stop before we come to that pasuk. We're going to stop one pasuk short of what we ordinarily would do. And what is the reason? Everyone knows the reason. That's because the next pasuk begins, Echo Esol Levadi. Moshe Rabbeinu complains to Hashem, how can I carry alone Tarchachem, Umasachem, Berivchem, your burdens, your packages, your different expressions, your burdens, Umasachem. What is a good translation of the word Maasachem? Let me see if Rashi, Pasuk Yudbeis, tells us a good translation. Umasachem, Melamed, Shahoyu, Apikorsin. Okay, a very powerful expression over here. Tarchachem means Tarchonim. They were troublesome. Masachem melamed shahoyu apikorsin. Hikdim Moshe Lotzeis Amru, they said, why is he going out? Okay, different nasty things. Verivchem, they would quarrel. All right. And it is the custom that when we read this pasuk, we read this in the melody of Eicha, because it does begin with the word Eicha, and it does refer to some very unpleasant things about Klal Yisrael, which relates very much to Inyan D'Yoyma. So we lay this in the melody of Eicha. So what? What's the problem? It's not nice to begin an Aliyah on Shabbos in the melody of Eicha. It's not nice to begin with bad news. It's not just not Derech Eretz. So in order that we should not have to begin in the melody of Eicha for the second Aliyah, for the Levi, and in order that we should not begin with bad news, so Chazal, or at least it is the Minhag Yisrael, to soften the blow by stopping the first Aliyah one pasuk early, so that we have a buffer. When we begin the second Aliyah, we begin with a beautiful bracha. Hashem Elokei Avoseichem Yosef Aleichem Kochem Elof Pami Varech Eschem Kasher Diber Lochem. And after we've softened, we've started with beautiful words of blessing, and we've put everyone in a good frame of mind, now we can begin the Musar. Echo Yeso Levadi. We begin with the Musar of Echo.
Rabbi Levine, my Rav, Rabbi Shlomo Frankel said to end off with Hashem Elokei Avoseichem Yosef, and to begin it also, to repeat the pasuk.
He said do it both, twice. Okay, that's a chiddush, I hear. You have Rabbi Frankel Shul? That's what they do in Rabbi Frankel Shul?
Okay.
Rabbi Shlomo Frankel, 14. Yeah. All right, Frankel, on East 14th Street, okay. I know Rabbi Frankel. I'm gonna ask him about this. That is very, very fascinating. That is very fascinating to read the pasuk twice. However, it's not the minhag. That's not the common minhag. I'm sure you will also acknowledge that to be correct. Are you acknowledge that's not the common minhag? I've never seen that done all the years. It's not the common minhag. The common minhag is to stop a pasuk early, and then. And then the second Aliyah, you begin with Hashem Elokei Avoseichem. And in fact, I believe it's so common that if you will actually try to say that pasuk, you will be shouted down by the tzibur. Stop, 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 stop. You're not supposed to say that pasuk. You're supposed to say that pasuk in the second Aliyah. Now, I believe here there's a very powerful Musar Haskel in this minhag. What's the Musar Haskel? Let me just put this on mute. What's the Musar Haskel? The Musa Haskel is that Rachmona Litzlan, when there isn't Klal Yisrael, Tzoris of Torchachem, Umasachem, Verivchem, it's not just we have to deal with the issues. We have to have organizations, and we have to have money, and we have to spend time that we don't have to deal with Echo Esol Levadi Torchachem, Umasachem, Verivchem. There is collateral damage. And what's the collateral damage? The barakha that we were expecting to receive never came. How could it be? You're laning the first Aliyah. You call up the Kohen. The time is right. The Kohen is going, the Balkri is going through all the psukim. And now we come to a tekufa when there's an expectation to say, Hashem, Elokei Avoseichem, Yosef aleichem kochem elef pa'amim vivorech eschem kasher diber lochem. This was expected. It's in the Chumash. Sheni is not over. Like in life, you come to a certain point in time, the boy is bar mitzvah. You get a little bit older, he gets married, then he has a child, then he marries off his child, he has a grandchild. There are times in life when there is an expectation for bracha to come. That's the way Hashem made the world. There are zmanim, there are tekufas. It's not a given. No guarantees. But we hope, we yearn, we plan, we anticipate. We do everything in our power that when the zmanim, the times, when we anticipate bracha should come in this period of time, that it should come. And if the bracha doesn't come, we got a problem. We have to hustle to make sure that it does come. So here we are in a microcosm. We're laning. And when you're laning, you're going through worlds, psukim, and you're coming now to the time when you expect a bracha. Yosef aleichem kochem elef pa'amim mivarech eschem kasher diber lochem. And you know what happens? There's no bracha. There's no bracha. The end. They close the Sefer Torah. And the Kohen makes the bracha. Asher nosan lan. Where's the bracha? You stole my bracha. We had the momentum. We were proceeding. We had the green light. Everything was going. We were cruising along. It's disturbing. You stole my bracha. And don't tell me it was never meant to be. Shabbos Mincha, we had it. Monday morning, we had it. Thursday morning, we had it. So what did you do to me? I didn't do nothing to you. You did it to yourself because you are people about which it says, Echo eso levadi torchachem u'masachem v'richem. Do you think that's it? You're going to look at these psukim in a vacuum? You're going to wrap this up, shrink wrap this in a vacuum? This collateral damage. This collateral damage. If you're going to be a people of torchachem u'masachem v'richem, the collateral damage is that in the first aliyah, there's going to be no bracha. There's going to be a very disturbing end. Right when you expect blessing to come, no. Close the Sefer Torah. That's the tzara of Golos. It's not just, no, you did an Aveira. So you did an Aveira, no. I'll deal with it. Maybe it's worth it to do the Aveira. The Hanah that I will get out of eating this piece of chazer is so delicious. I'll trade in a couple of hours of Gan Eden. I'll trade in the next world. You don't know what goes through a person's mind. People, they spend outrageous amounts of money. They spend time and effort to accomplish things that are totally outrageous because they want a certain hanah, a benefit. So for some people, to eat a piece of chazer, it's worth it. They'll do an Aveira. They'll pick a fight. I hate this person so much. It's worth it for me to curse him out in public, even if I'll lose my Olam Haba. It's worth it. No, you don't understand something. That's not the price. Maybe in this world, if you want to buy something, you have to pay money. It's just dollars and cents. When it comes to doing an Aveira, there's collateral damage. Don't forget about the collateral. That it's not just the Aveira and the price you pay for the Aveira. When you do an Aveira, fine, you'll pay the price. But do you realize the collateral damage? That you never thought about. And even if you thought about it, you don't even know what it is. You can't even fathom what it will be. This is the Musa Haskel, the most painful part of the Kriyas HaTorah this Shabbos is not to lane with a nigun, Echo Eso Levadi. That's not so terrible. The HaTorah, Chazoin Yeshayahu Ben Amoitz. That's not so bad. You know what's so terrible? Is that you stopped in the middle of an aliyah and you were denied the bracha that you expected, that should have come your way at that moment in time. They stopped right before the beautiful bracha. That is painful. Everything else we expect, we know what's coming to us. We know what we did. We're already prepared for the patch that's coming. But this we didn't expect. We didn't expect that the bracha that ordinarily comes at this tekufa, gone. That's the Musar Haskel. That's the pain of Golus. That's the pain of Tisha B'Av, the Ben HaMetzarim. It's the collateral damage that we never would have expected. Ul Mirumas, in the Oifan, the way that we arrange the laning on Shabbos, in contrast to the way the laning is arranged, Shabbos Mincha and Monday, Thursday. Okay, let's go to another short idea. The Gemara has a discussion about the principle of darshening simuchim. Everyone is familiar with the principle called Ein Muktom U'me'uchar B'Torah. Just because in Chamishei Chumshei Torah there are two parshiyos that are juxtaposed, it doesn't mean anything. Don't get worked up and say, why is it that this specific mitzvah is positioned next to this mitzvah? Why is this story about Moshe Rabbeinu juxtaposed to this story? So there's a machlokes in the Gemara. I don't remember the names of the opinions. I don't remember. There are different opinions in the Gemara. One opinion says, yes, there is in deep, deep significance in the way the Torah is arranged. Every single pasuk was done with a very precise kavana, and it is within our power to analyze the juxtaposition of parshiyos in order to derive a lesson, to compare, to extract what is this parsha coming to teach and shed light on another parsha. And there's another opinion in the Gemara that says, listen here, don't get carried away. Basically, the way we're going to explain this, I agree with you that, of course, the Torah is divine, and the way the parshios are arranged are divine, but it's not for us, human beings, little people, to be able to understand why parshios are put next to each other, to the degree where you're able to extract a lesson, a teaching, a halacha, and make a change in your understanding of a halacha because the juxtaposition. Because we all ain mukdam u'me'uchar b'toira. Okay, this is a general machlokes. Are you doyresh semuchin? Do you analyze and extract halacha from the fact that two parashios are juxtaposed? One opinion says yes, one opinion says no. And again, even the opinion that says no, of course, there's meaning, but it's just not for us to understand. This is divine. But then the Gemara goes on to say a very powerful yisoid. Even though there's a machlokes of yidoresh semuchin in the four books of the Torah, Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, everyone agrees, Bili Yotzei Min HaKlal, that we are doyresh semuchin in Chumash Devarim. In Chumash Devarim, Ela HaDevarim, every single word, every single pasuk, every parsha, whether it's a parsha stuma, a parsha psucha, was put in position with precision in order to give us, man, the ability to question, what does A have to do with B? What is the unique characteristic of A? If this is correct, it must be we can apply it to B, and vice versa. Why is Chumash Devarim different than Chumash Devarim different than the four other Chumashim? Because Chumash Devarim was written, composed by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu only wrote Chumash Devarim al pi Ruach HaKodesh. Moshe is the Av HaNeviim. But still, Moshe, to some small degree, had an input, had a contribution to the authorship of Chumash Devarim. And being that Moshe Rabbeinu is a human being who knew what he was doing, put things in order, that was part of his teaching to us. It allows us to analyze and to be doyresh smuchin, to analyze the juxtaposition, to understand the significance and why parish are put together. And what do we want with this? Chazal tell us, hafeichba dekulubah. This that we read the parashios, the parashas hashavua, the way we do, the 54 parashios are arranged throughout the year. Current events are always mirumas in the parashas hashavua. We always say that. Hafeichba, hafeichba, dekulubah. In fact, if we really understood, we'd be able to break down the news, the current events of the week into the 6 days of the week. The current events of Sunday can be found in the first Aliyah. To understand the current events from a Torah perspective of Monday can be found in the second Aliyah, and Tuesday the third Aliyah, Wednesday and Friday, and so on and so on. So today, if you really want to understand the current events today, if you want to go turn on the news, listen to the radio, go online, read some articles, see what's doing on television, and you want a Torah hashkafa, there is a hashkocha pradis that in the sixth aliyah of Parashas Devarim, you will find the answers to all of the mysteries of current events. Take this principle and apply it to the whole tekufa of Devarim, which means starting from now Chodesh Av, all the way until V'zois HaBracha, which is Simchas Torah. This time of the year is a time of the year where we're able to understand things with greater clarity than the rest of the year. Just like the rest of the year, we have a principle, Ein Dorshim Smuchim. Just because this happened and that happened, don't get carried away. Don't make a drasha, don't derive halacha. It's not for you to understand. It's divine. But during this time of the year of Chumash Devarim, which begins now with Chodesh Av and goes all the way through the Yomim Noiraim, Koroiv Hashem L'chol Koroav L'chol Asher Yikra'uhu Ve'emes. This is the time of the year where Hashem is as close as he gets. During the time of the Churban, Hashem is not far away. Hashem is even closer. We know the Kruvim, when they Kruvim during the end of the Beis Hamidash, their faces separated from one another. It was a show that Hashem said, I don't want to know from you. But when Hashem came down to destroy the Beit, to take away the Beis Hamidash, to pour out his anger on wood and stone, at that time Hashem was very close to us. And he told us, I have to punish you for your own good. And at that time, the Kruvim, which represent Hashem and Klal Yisrael, they faced one another. It's a time of closeness. The time of Churban is a time of closeness. And certainly the Yemei HaDin, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot is certainly a time of Hashem is close. And that closeness is reflected in the fact that from now, we begin Chumash Devarim, and Chumash Devarim is a section of the Torah where Chazal tell us you have the right, the privilege, you have the ability to look at something and understand it. Bereishis Shmos Vayikra Bamidbar? No. Don't think you understand anything. Don't go start on the corona, this, anti-Semitism, everything fits into place. Oh, we have, you know nothing. You know nothing. Stay far away. But this time of the year, the fact, HaKol Moedim, Darshim Smuchim, if this is next to this, then it must mean something. There must be a message. What's the message? And whatever the message is becomes practical, LaHalacha. It's not just that in the words. The fact that we go through the year in a cycle of Chumash, it's a Zaman, where we are permitted to be doyresh, to analyze smuchin, things that are hashkocha. In this sense, it means one thing that's next to the other, but by extension, it means Hashem is giving us in our minds the ability to a degree, of course, in a responsible way. Obviously, no one's going to end the day, we're not going to know nothing anyway. But there's at least a sensation of understanding Hashem's hanhogos more than throughout the rest of the year. That is the silver lining, the blessing that lies underneath Chumash Devarim in this time of the year. Okay, let's go to another idea. In this idea, we learn about the Meraglim. Chumash Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu, he reviews mitzvahs, he reviews episodes in our history, and one of the most painful episodes, which is extremely relevant for Tisha B'Av, is the Meraglim. And you can spend the whole year analyzing the differences between the way Moshe Rabbeinu reflects what happened versus the way it's presented in the Chumash when it did happen in real time. There's no limit to the differences, the nuances. I want to focus on it's a very big difference, which I think really brings out is a very scary message regarding Eretz Yisrael. We learn here about the Meraglim, and Moshe Rabbeinu goes, tells us the whole story, I told you to go to Eretz Yisrael. I'm now reading from Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Beis. And we begin the ugly episode of the Meraglim. Vatikrivun elai kulchem vatharmu nishlecha anoshim lefaneinu. Moshe, let's send some spies. Okay, you can make a million, you can analyze, and let's just read the basic words. And let them v'yachru lanu es aretz, let them spy the land, v'chulu v'chulu. And they come back. V'yichu v'yadam mipri ha'aretz, they take from the fruits of the earth. V'yoridu eilenu, and the spies brought back the delicious fruits. Vayashivu oisanu davar, they arrived. When did they arrive? They arrived the eighth day of Av, this week. Davar vayomer, and they said, Toivo ha'aretz, asher Hashem Elokeinu noisein lanu. And they said, the spies said, we inspected the land, we thoroughly investigated, done reconnaissance, and our basic report is Toivo ha'aretz. It's a good land. Asher Hashem Elokeinu Noisein is giving lanu to us. And then comes all the trouble. But v'lo yavisem la'alois, you still didn't want to go. Even though you acknowledged that indeed it is a good land, you did not want to go. And then Moshe Rabbeinu goes on a tirade discussing all the details of what's going on over here. Rashi in this pasuk says, who is the one that said, Toiv ha'aretz asher? Really? They said it was good? Really? Who said it was good? Who? There were 12 spies. They never said it was good. Rashi says, who said these words? Pasuk Chafein Rashi. Toiv ha'aretz. Mi heim sha'amru toiv asam. Who said this? All 12 spies? No. Rashi says only two. Yehoshua v'cholev. All right. So Rashi clarifies it wasn't everyone who said this. It was Yehoshua v'cholev. Okay, fine. Is this the way it really happened? Is this true? Is Moshe Rabbeinu reporting, you know, the fact checkers are always sitting there at the Google waiting to chap a public speaker. The fact checkers are there. Maybe this is fake news. Is this really true? Let's go back to Parashas Shlach and look how it's reported over there. Look how it's reported there in Parashas Shlach. Parashas Shlach only a few weeks ago, not so long ago. Okay, they come back. And Yeshua v'cholim, and what do they say? Vayomru el kol v'Yoshua ben Nun v'cholim ben Yefuneh min ha'torim es ha'aretz koru big dehem. Okay, this is Perik Yudalid, Pasik Vav, page 419 in the article Chumash. Vayomru el kol adas b'nei Yisholem ha'aretz asher avarnu va losuroisa to inspect toivo ha'aretz me'oid me'oid. Now let me ask you, what from these expressions, which one is nicer? Which one would you want to have on your record? The eloquent expressions of Tanakh. Would you prefer the expression Toivo ha'aretz me'oid me'oid? Or do you like better what Moshe Rabbeinu, his report, was Toivo ha'aretz Asher Hashem Elokeinu Noisein Lanu. What do you like better? What would you like better? I would say it's much nicer. Toivo ha'aretz. Ma'oid ma'oid. Ma'oid ma'oid. The land is unbelievable. Unbelievable. The Torah is not very proud to have exaggerations. Toivo ma'oid ma'oid. And here it just says, Moshe is reporting, he's downplaying, like a politician. Politician always knows how to spin your words just the right way to downplay or to insult you, to manipulate you. Moshe Rabbeinu, this is fake news. This is mamish fake news. They said Toivo haaretz me'oid me'oid, which you'll get an A plus on Hashem's report card. And Moshe Rabbeinu was downplaying it to an A minus. Toivo haaretz. What happened to me'oid me'oid? Kasha, no, it's a good kasha. What's going on over here? So I want to suggest something very simple. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't just a good listener. Moshe Rabbeinu was a psychologist. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to plumb the depths of the human condition. And Moshe was very precise in what he said. Back in Parsha Shalach, Yeshua v'Cholev, who really represent Klal Yisrael, we're not pinning anything upon a person in particular, they didn't say, it's our land. What did they say? They said, Haaretz, I lost the place here, I lost the land that Hashem gave us, is, what must I say, just let me find the place again. What did I do with the pasuk over here? Yeshua, where did I go? Where did I go over here?
Zion.
Pasuk Zion, okay. Oh, thank you. Vayomer el kol hadas bnei Yisrael lehem haaretz asher avarnu vo lo surisa toivo haaretz moed moed. They didn't mention it's our land. Even though Hashem promised Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael many, many times, they're objective. It's not mine. It's not our. It's not ours. It's this. This is the land. This is the land of Klal Yisrael. It's objective. We're not here yet. We have not yet arrived and taken possession of the land. The land is being viewed as something objective. It's not ours yet. Hashem promised this land to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. We're getting near. We're coming close. And we want to inspect and look from far. And we want to be objective. Is this a good land for us? This land is out of this world. Me'oid, me'oid. But once...
Yeah, but is it obtainable?
Yes. That's not the point I want to make. When they look at the land, they say, me'oid, me'oid. Wow, I'm objective. You sell someone a car salesman, I'm not buying the car, I'm a salesman. I tell the guy, the customer, there's no car in the world like this. This is the best. Really, if it's such a good car, why don't you buy it yourself? I don't. That's a different story. But for you, the car has all the bells and whistles, every gadget you can want. Me'oid, me'oid. But in Chumash Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu looks into the human condition, into the minds and eyes of Yeshua v'Cholev, who represent Klal Yisrael, now it's Nogea. Hashem, Asher, Hashem Elokeinu, Noisein Lanu. We don't have the same appreciation. Now that it's ours, the car salesman fooled us. He told us it was Me'oid, Me'oid. That was before we bought it. But now that we bought it and it's ours, it's our possession, Toivo Haaretz. It's good. It's not great. That is a problem. To look at the land, there is Moshe Rabbeinu is coming here to give Musa to Klal Yisrael. He's giving Musa even to the people that are coming into the land. You have to understand over here, the people, the Chet HaMeraglim is over. It's gone. They're dead. There's a Magefa. They're gone. They're gone. And everyone who participated is 40 years later, they all died. So who is Moshe Rabbeinu coming to complain against? He's coming here to give Musar. It's 40 years later. Yoim Lashana, Yoim Lashana. They're all dead. So Moshe is giving Musar. Who is he giving Musar to now? About the miraculum, you come, you don't want to go into the land. Why bother with the whole parasha altogether? It's not relevant anymore. Yes, it is relevant. The people who didn't want the land, you're right, for them it's not relevant. They're goners, they're gone. I'm now addressing Yoshua and Kalev and the whole and the Klal Yisrael, who the new generation who are under their wings. And I can see in their attitude in coming into Eretz Yisrael that we got a problem. That when they looked at the land objectively, when it's not mine, when they were a car salesman selling someone else a car, they told them the land is ma'oid ma'oid. But when they got the car themselves and they had to fill out a survey, how do you like your car? It's good. Not great, it's okay. So why then, when you were selling it to someone else, was it toiva haaretz ma'oid ma'oid? There's something wrong here. There's something wrong. The land is, when you were objective, that was the emes. It is taka, me'oid, me'oid. The problem now is, when it's now a reality for you, who's now about on the edge of Eretz, of the Yarden, about to cross in, I see you don't have that appreciation of me'oid, me'oid anymore. Now it's only toivo haaretz, because now it's nogea you. Now it's asher Hashem Elokim noisein lanu. That's the problem, and I want to go so far to say a drush. If you go further, it says a very powerful pasuk, and this pasuk demands a whole university to analyze and tell us what this pasuk means. This pasuk is like probably the foundation of the whole Yadus. And I mean, just to read the pasuk, it's a pella. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Uvadovor hazeh einichem ma'aminim b'Hashem Elokeichem. In this particular matter, you're non-believers. What does that mean? The whole Yadus is all about emunah. The Rambam has the Yud Gimel Ikodim of Emunah. And the Rambam, you should know, is just one opinion. The Rambam is the Rambam, Kodesh Kodashim. But there's a list of Rishonim, you could no end. What are the Ikorim of Emunah? Not everyone agrees to the Rambam that these are the 13. Some say, if you don't believe in some of these, you're still a fine Jew. 3, 4, 5, I have a safe, there's a whole unbelievable collection of all of the Rishonim, what they held to be the Ikorim of Emunah. We don't have much time to learn, so we just focus on the Rambam. There are 13. Not everyone agrees there are 13. Some hold there are only 2, 3, 4, 5. Some hold there are even more. And if you don't believe in one of these principles, that can make a person not be Kareis. So what are the Gedarim? Emunah is where it's at. That's the name of the game. Pesach, it's all Emunah. And if you have a pasuk like this that says, Uvadovor hazeh, in this particular matter, Einchem ma'aminim b'Hashem Elokeichem. Oh, wait a minute. Excuse me. What are you talking about here? So Rashi, Rabban Shel Yisrael tells us, Derech Pshat, Shehu mavtichachem, he is promising to you, Lahaviachem el ha'oretz, to the land einchem maminim. What you're lacking is your belief that Hashem promised you this land. Again, shehu mavtichachem, you don't believe that it's really your land. That's, I want to say a drush that's different mahalach. But first you have to learn the ikor, Rashi, Rabban Shel Yisrael. This Rav Mechol, this should really excite you, Rav Mechol. You turn dark on me over here. Rav Mechol, this goes back to the first Rashi in Chumash. The first Rashi in Chumash, Hashem promised Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael. You don't, this is a side point, but this Rashi basically is saying is, what's the problem we have? We really don't believe it's our land. This is the source of our problems. It's not that we believe, we have confidence, we can conquer. We're invincible. If we want to conquer Eretz Yisrael, we'll conquer the whole world. Milchemes Goig u'Magog, the whole world can gang up on us, all of their nuclear weapons. Israelis, big deal, you'll take you all out. We'll take you all out with our pinky, no problem. So what's the problem? The problem is, do we really believe it's our land? Or are we occupiers? Do we really feel that the United Nations has a good point? We're occupiers, we stole the land? Rashi tells us, I'm telling you what Rashi says, I'm not making this up. Rashi says, Uvadovor has that your problem is not your ability, not your belief that Hashem can give you siyata d'shmaya to accomplish whatever you want. Your problem is the fundamentals. You really don't believe in the first Rashi in Chumash. You really don't believe it. You don't believe that first Rashi. Hashem created this world. He temporarily gave the Canaanim a lease on the land. They've committed the worst possible averos by worshiping idols and burning their children. And Hashem said, enough of you people, get out of here. I'm going to give this land to the people that I have selected, my chosen nation. That's where it all starts and ends. The first Rashi in Chumash. That's the Pshat. That itself is a very powerful Rashi. But I want to say a Drush. A Drush, this is not Pshat. The drush is when the back vatikuvune lai kolchem vatoimru, and they said nishchol, let us send spies. Vayitav, I lost the place of it. One more second. They go and they Moshe sends the spies. Vayoshivu oisanu davar. Vayoimru. What do we need? This Vayashivu Oisanu Davar? What's Davar? What does this mean over here? And this is the last time it says the word Davar until we get to the next Davar Hazeh. The whole parish is full of Davarim. Eile HaDavarim. The Piskamin. We have Davarim. But here, we have this Davar, then Moshe again, he says the word Davar. It says Davar over and over and over again. And now we come to the next Dovar. The next Dovar is Vayashivu, Oisanu, the Meraglim, they return, Dovar, a report. Vayoimru, and they say, Toivo ha'aretz, the land is good, not great. Asher Hashem Elokein, why is it? Because now we're in the driver's seat, because now we are the ones who have the... In the parasha, it said there, Toivo ha'aretz, me'oid, me'oid. But now Moshe Rabbeinu was analyzing the people 40 years later, and he's in hindsight, he's saying that you don't really like the land. All you like about it, it's Toiv Haaretz. Why? Because now it's Nogeya. Now it affects you. You're going to live there. Hashem Elokim Noisim Lanu. And then, right a few psukim later, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Moshe stops the whole show after going through the parasha Eile HaDevarim. Asher Diber. On this page itself, it says a few words, Dover, a few times. And now, after going to one Dover, another Dover, another Dover, and now Moshe says, guess what, Rabbi Yisai? Uvadovor hazeh. This last Dover that I just mentioned, that's your problem. Einchem ma'aminim ba'ashem elokeichem. You yourself said, objectively, Toivo ha'aretz me'oid me'oid. But halacha l'maisa, when you came to live in the land and take possession of the land, and now it went just from surveying the land, observing the land as an outsider, and now it became relevant, asher Hashem Elokeinu noisein lanu, now it's your property, all of a sudden you have a different song. All of a sudden, the land is toiva, but it's no longer me'oid, me'oid. In this dover, you're not faithful. You're not faithful. When you looked at it from the outside, yeah, Torah is good for someone else, not for me. Practice what you preach. If you can preach and tell everyone, yeah, it's good, learn Torah, then when you finish the shiur, you go do whatever you want. Yeah, uvadovor hazeh einichem maminim ba'Hashem Elokeichem. We've gone through many devarim. Everything is fine and good. Your real problem is your hypocrites. Hypocrites. Achas bepeh ve'achas belev. Bepeh, you said me'oid me'oid. Belev, you're saying toivo ha'aretz. There's a lack of appreciation for Eretz Yisrael. And that's the relevance for Tisha B'Av, the Ben HaMetzarim, where it all appears. This whole Musar comes into play in this parasha. Okay, let's go now to two more things to wind down. Two more short ideas. Beginning of the parasha, we learn about Di Zahav. Ele Hadram, all the locations where Klal Yisrael were angered at Kodesh Baruch Hu. We go from one location to the next. And the last on the list was Di Zahav. And Rashi tells us, and Moshe says, you know why? What Zahav? You made for yourself the Egel Hazav. But Rashi says it's not just they made for themselves the Egel Hazav. Here in this sin, Rashi says something very interesting. It's Moshe is almost blaming Hashem. You gave them so much gold to the point where the Jewish people said, die! Enough! They were so fabulously wealthy that they said, die! We have enough gold. And with wealth, with extraordinary wealth, when they with this extraordinary wealth, they reached a degree of complacency, and that complacency led to them making the Egel. Because they said Dai Zahav, this is what happened. Here's the question. Saw this question in a sefer. I don't remember the name of the sefer. There's no such thing in this world as saying you have enough money. Mi sheyesh lo imone roitze mosayim. Ein adam meis ele veloy. And you do not take with you even half of your desires. When did you ever see a person say, I have enough money, and that's it, I quit? Di Zahav? Is it true? Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Di Zahav, in this week's parasha, that because you gave them so much wealth to the point where they said, die, we have enough money, that created complacency where they had the gaiva and the chutzpah to make an ego. What are you talking about? There's no such thing. Go ask any person who has studied the human condition. They will tell you as a fact, there is no such thing in this world for a person to say enough money. You can never have enough money. Never. Whatever you have, if you own Manhattan, you want to own the whole New York City. If you own New York City, you want to own the state. You own the state, you want to own the country. You own this country, you want to own another country. If you conquer the whole world, where do you go next? You go to Mars. That's the way it goes. This is the human condition. There's no such thing as saying die. So what's going on over here? What is Rashi? This is not correct from the perspective of psychology. So this person who wrote the sefer, he says something very, very deep, very profound, which I don't know if it's even true, but I think about this. This is very, very, it shook me up quite a bit. And he said, it's definitely true, there's no such thing as being satisfied, but there is a moment when you are satisfied. For a split second, when you get your check. Person who has 100 and he wants 200. So what does he do? He sweats. He works away sweats to get the 200. What happens? He gets it. He succeeds. $200 comes into his account. At that moment when he is mekabel, He receives the check for $200. He says, die. How long does that die last? 1 second. But there is a second of die when you achieve the mission. The next second, all of a sudden your mind starts going meshuggah. Now I want 400. And then you work, you work, you work. And when the day comes, when you get that $400 check, that moment when it arrives in the mail, die. Ah, wow. And then the next second, you want more and more. There is a moment. It's not true. This, that the psychologist will tell us that there's no such thing. That's in the big picture. But the moment of transition from 1 to 2, 2 to 4, 4 to 8, 8 to 16, 16 to 32, that moment, how long does it last? A fleeting moment. But there is a moment of die. And what's now so profound about this idea is, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know why they sinned? It's not because they're rich. Just because the Jews are billionaires, they own the whole world. They're not happy people. They want more. They're looking to go to the moon. They're not happy people. So what, you're rich? Big deal. Just because you're rich, so what? So you're rich, you're complacent? You have bigger daigas. Marbe nechassim, marbe daiga. Marbe nechassim, big deal. You're always going weiter, further, further, further. You're always worried what's going to be. So. But you know what the difference between a rich man and a poor man is? This is a very profound idea, if it's true. You know the only difference between the rich and the poor? Both of them can't sleep. The poor man can't sleep because he can't buy bread. And the rich man can't sleep because he knows he's in a lot of trouble. He has creditors coming to take away all of his assets. They both can't sleep at night. The difference is the rich man had in his life 3 seconds of die. There was a second of die when he was 20 years old. There was a second of die when he was 30 years old. And a 1 second die when he was 40 years old. When he made his first $100,000, die. When he made his first million, he said die. And when he was 40 and made his first billion, die. And how long did those dies last him? 1 second. The only difference between the poor man and the rich man is 3 seconds. The poor man never had that moment of die. The rich man had 3 seconds of die. Yet Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the ultimate psychologist, was Yoyre L'Sof Daito Shel Adam, and said, Ribbono Shel Olam, that one moment of die destroy them. That split second of die put into their mind a poison which created the ability for them to go make an ego. Even though it was only a fleeting moment. What do we say? Hashem give us a bracha. Vahari koisem lochem bracha ad Belidai. The pshutoi shel mikra is, I'm going to give you brocha, brocha, until your lips get worn out from saying, die, 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 die. Your lips will get worn out. Okay, that's the pshutoi shel mikra. But on a deeper level, I'm going to give you brocha ad, you'll never have that moment, ad belidai. You shouldn't chas v'sholem, being that die is just a moment. Because after that moment is over, you're back to the same daigus as you always had. I'll give you bracha, I will shower upon you bracha, but I'll give you the bracha in such a way that it won't be in your mind, it will not come to you with those moments of die. Ad, the bracha will be so great to the degree, ad the ad bichlal, it will be beli die, without the poison of that moment, ah, I achieved this goal. You won't have that. You'll have all the bracha. You'll have all the millions. And you'll have the daigus, but not such big daigus. You'll be able to deal with it in a very... And you won't have that die. Last vart. The last vart. It's Shabbos Chazoin. In Shabbos Chazoin, we have the Haftorah. I want to show you in a moment, in the Haftorah, there are really three parts. There are three parts to the Haftorah. The three parts of Haftorah represent that Klal Yisrael has a very unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzad Echad, Bonim Atem LaShem Elokeichem. Klal Yisrael are children. There is no relationship like a father and a child. But there's another relationship. A Rebbe and a Talmud. A Rebbe and a Talmud is very, very deep. In fact, Chazal say, it's a shocking Chazal. If you only have one container of water and you're in a desert and you can give it only to your father or to your Rebbe who gets it, would you believe this? Your Rebbe gets it. Because the Rebbe brings you, your father only brought you to Olam Hazeh, and your Rebbe brings you Olam Haba. Unless your father pays the tuition, then your father gets it. Because since your father paid the tuition, so your father then is, he brings you, he's the one who also brings you Olam Haba. But we all appreciate that a relationship that one has with his teacher is different than the relationship one has with his parent. And then there's a third relationship, a husband and wife. It's different. Whole different ballgame. Everyone in their life has three major relationships. His parents, his teachers, which include his rabbanim, and his family. And amongst his family is Rosh, is his wife. In the Haftorah begins in Devarim. Moshe Rabbeinu giving Musa to Klal Yisrael, Yeshai giving Musa to Klal Yisrael, you've damaged your relationship with your father. Chazoin Yeshaya ben Amoitz, Shimu Shmaim v'Hazini Eretz ki Hashem Diber, Bonim, children, Gidalti v'Raimamti, v'Heim Pashubi. And then he goes on to describe the relationship, metaphors of a father and a child. And later, in the Haftorah, we come to Pasuk, go a little bit further, Pasuk Yud, Yeshaya starts all over again. He already said in Pasuk Beis, Shim'u Shamayim v'Hazini Eretz. Now what's he saying again? Shim'u Devar Hashem Kitzinei Sidoim, the leaders of Sidoim. He calls the Jewish people Sidoim. Ha'azinu Toiras, the Torah HaKadosha, Elokeinu of our God. Am, you wicked people who behave like the Amorim, Amora. Yeshaya now gives Musa to Klal Yisrael. You messed up the relationship of a Rebbe and a Talmud. And he goes on, if you study these words very carefully, you'll see these are all very spiritual concepts now. They all relate to a Rebbe and a Talmud. And then when you get towards the end of the Haftarah, Pasuk Chof Aleph, he describes our third relationship with Hashem. How could my wife turn into a zoina? This is the relationship of a husband and a wife. Our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is total. It is encompasses every relationship in humanity. Multiple relationships you have in this world. The whole life is all about relationships. Your dealings with other people. When you deal with the Ribbono Shel Olam, you deal with him as your father, your Rebbe, and your husband. And this week, Erev, Tisha B'Av, the Mussar is messed up on every level. Every level. As a father, as a Rebbe, as a husband, you blew it. And this whole Haftarah, I wanted to suggest, the whole Haftarah, Yeshaya was the protege of Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal say this. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu deliver the entire Haftarah? B'kitzur Nimrutz. The beginning of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha. Echo esol levadi. How could I deal with you people alone? Torchachem umasaachem v'rivichem. The word tircha is a child. Tsar gidul banim. It's a very big tircha to have children. Carpool, carpool, carpool. Did I forget to mention carpool? Yes, that the parents. Take them to this doctor, take them to that doctor, take them to this friend, that friend, buy them this toy, buy them that toy. And when they get older, you have to buy them bigger presents, bigger toys, more expensive toys. Instead of buy a dollhouse, you have to buy a real house. Instead of buy a bicycle, you have to buy them a car. And then the grandchildren, and it goes on and on. It's a groisa tircha, but that's life. Umasa achem, your burdens. Rashi over here says, you're a bunch of apikarsim. Apikarsim. Spiritual problems. You're my talmidim who have gone off the derech. Rebbe Talmud. And the last word, I don't have to explain. Vrivchem. What do you do with a wife? You fight. Vrivchem. When a husband and wife don't get along, there's a riv, there's a quarrel, there's a quarrel. My relationship between you and Hashem, be Hashem and Klal Yisrael, as a husband and wife, the honeymoon is over. It turned into a riv. Moshe Rabbeinu, in three words, said the entire Haftarah. Echo eso levadi torchachem. There's a problem in the relationship of father and son. There's a problem, umasachem, Rashi apikorsim. My relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud, and a problem in my relationship between a Hashem and you is a husband and a wife. But what is the silver lining? The silver lining is we got all three. You never get rid of your children, no matter what. Wife is a wife. You could fight the nastiest fights, and the next day, everything is fine and good. It all goes away, one, two, three, like it never happened. And a Rebbe and a Talmud, that's the best, that's the strongest. No matter how much the Rebbe gives Musar, the Rebbe, he loves the Talmud. I remember there's a story of Aaron Kotler. He was learning with boys in the house. Of Aaron Kotler, they say, was a very nervous person. I heard the story somewhere. He was a very, very nervous person. He was at home, and his grandchild, probably 3-4 years old, walks into the room where they were learning with some boys, and the little boy starts climbing the walls, climbing the bookcase. And Aaron Kotler was a very nervous person, and he got all worked up. He right away went to the grand, took him off the bookcase, took him down, and he called his wife, take him to safety. And the Rebbe's in there, and when this happened, he walked out at that second for something at that moment. And if Aaron Kotler's wife, she said to the boys, do you see how much he loves his grandchild? How nervous he is? I'm telling you, Eidos, he loves you even more than his own children. I'm not making up lies. As much as you see how nervous he is about his grandchild, because who knows, he starts climbing on the walls, he loves his Talmidim even more. So the silver lining is, if Hashem is giving us Musar, Moshe is giving us Musar, that you're a bad boy, you're not a good Talmud, and we have to go for counseling, Shalom Bayis. But look at this. Look at what we have. We have a triple relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hachut HaMeshulosh Loi B'Mehera Yinotek. Have a wonderful Shabbos, a Shabbos that should lead to Nechama and Yeshua's for Klal Yisrael. Be well.
Shabbos,
everyone. Shabbos.
Shabbos,
everyone.
Shabbos,
Dr. Fruchter, Mr. Nyman.
Shabbos, how are you?
Mr. Hoffman, good to see you, Dr. Fruchter. Good to see you. Ron, good to see you. Good to see you. Heshi, I can't see you with your mask on. Yes. Mr. Card, have a wonderful Shabbos. Be well, be well, be well. Of Kalman, have a good Shabbos. Mayavsky, good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos.
Shabbos, good
Shabbos. Dr. Wilner, Dr. Wilner, good to see you.
Hi.
Mr. Bloom, have a good Shabbos. Mr. Elman, Mr. Elman, you found your way back. You're home, Mr. Elman. Okay, Baruch Hashem.
Shabbos,
good Shabbos. I'm sorry about what happened. I'll text you the combination. You and Mayavsky, I'm sorry about what happened. I'm sorry about that. Mr. Hershkowitz, good Shabbos. Cohen, Mr. Cohen is here. Mr. Cohen.
No.
Mr. Cohen is here.
Okay. You didn't text me the company.
Oh, I forgot. I'm going to text you. I'm going to text you now in a few minutes. I'm going to text you. I'm sorry. I'm going to text you.
Listen, so in reference to what you just said about Dai, the interesting, the Abarbanel makes a point of saying in Masay, if you take a look at Pasuk Ches, and it says, they left the Yamsum, right? And then it says, by Yisumi Mar, by Yachum Gemara.